remember what Cain did to Abel? Right, you remember that, right? No, he did not give him a stern talking to. No, he didn't. No, he did not fire off a nasty salvo on Facebook. Facebook wasn't invented back then. Try again. Yeah, he killed him. He shed his blood. And this is what religion continues to do today. All religions, not just Islam. Well, the Hindus, they don't really shed blood, do they? I got to give it to the Buddhists, especially the Hindus. I don't think so. It's Islam and Christianity that shed all the blood. But today, the earth is saturated with the worship, with the religion of Cain. Cain is the man-made religion. Remember, Abel gave God the sacrifice that God wanted. Cain was the symbolism of a Christless cross. You know, it's Christianity is a popularity club. It doesn't cost you anything. I'm not talking about cost as far as we need to earn our salvation, but as far as the giving up of pride, giving up of how we think we ought to approach God, giving up on our personal construction of God. We all have a construct. We all make God according to our own image. This is idolatry at its basis level, creating God in your own image. There's only one proper image of God, and that's Jesus Christ. But we, as a people, not you and me, not the body of Christ, but the West, all religions, not just the West, but I'm thinking of Christianity specifically, has created God after their own image. They've made him like a man because that's the filter they look through. But he is not a man. And so Cain did not want to have the kind of God in his mind that would erase what he thought the contribution should be. God called for a sacrifice. Abel provided that sacrifice. Cain picked a few radishes, picked a few grapes, picked a few heads of cabbage and gave it to God. And God said no. Cain became jealous and he killed his son Abel. This sort of religion that builds God after its own image is so pervasive that you're the exception today. You and I, we're the exceptions today. Because we have not sought to make God in our image. We have put blinders on, not blinders that will keep the world out, but blinders that would keep our own interpretations, our own ideas about God out, and we have looked down at Scripture, and we have dared to believe God, what He says concerning Him and His Son. And again, the biggest evidence that this Scripture was not written by humanity is the humiliating place that humanity is given in the Scriptures. The religion of the nations, not Israel specifically, this is why I vehemently object to any viewpoint which would say that the judgments of the tribulation are limited to Israel. That's just not the case. Starting in chapter 11 with the measuring of the temple, we are going to see God dealing specifically with Israel. But the religion of the nations is brought into judgment under the sixth trumpet. Because the nations have their own idols. The nations have their own gods that they worship. Oh, along that line, I'm going to bring you a verse. I'm going to bring you two verses from 1 Corinthians that tell you what the nations are worshiping today. Does this go unchecked by God? No. I'm told that he deals only with Israel. Only with Israel. No, he does deal with Israel, but it's specifically, there's a specific turning point, especially in chapter 11, when we start looking at the temple and the temple section, but here we're dealing with the nations, the idolatry of the nations. And the nations, if you haven't noticed this, have departed from God. That's not true. I looked at the statistics. There's so many millions of people who are Christians, so many millions of people who are Islamic. They have departed from the true God. I should have said it that way. They're worshiping other gods. And remember, the horns of the altar rectify this. Altar is worship. God wants worship. The world is worshiping falsely. The horns have to do with power. And God's coming with power. It is an error to suppose that the only superhuman system of worship is given by God. It was God's system of worship that he brought to Israel and to the Jews with the temple, with the procedures there in Israel. That was a legit way to worship God. But the religions of the nations, again, I told you this last week, but I'm going to tell you this throughout this section of the sixth messenger. The religions of the nations are not of human origin. Some guy didn't sit down, this unlike Joseph Smith, right? Guy sat down and said, I'm going to draw up a religion today, or Scientology. Was it L. Ron Hubbard or whatever? He sat down and I'm going to make a religion today. Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, and Christianity have been drafted into existence by gigantic, horrifying, the ugliest, hardest-hitting demons in the universe have animated the four great religions. These gods are not myths, they're real. 1 Corinthians 10:20. Let's start there. I have this saved with my straw. You see my epic straw bookmark? I have my place saved. 1 Corinthians 10:20. Listen to this. That which the nations are sacrificing, they are sacrificing to demons and not to God. The nations. This is a broad sweeping accusation of Paul against the nations. But it confirms what we're learning here in the unveiling. That which the nations are sacrificing, they are sacrificing to demons and not to God. But I don't doubt for a moment that even in Paul's day, these demons represented themselves as something positive, something that was outwardly scrubbed white and made presentable to humanity. And then Paul says, now I do not want you to become participants with the demons. That's a great piece of advice. And I will give that advice to you today that Paul gave to the Corinthians. I don't want you to become participants with the demons. I want you to stay away from the demons. That's why I, Martin Zender, tell you to quit church. Why would Martin Zender give such unspiritual advice? It's not unspiritual advice. It's simply this. I do not want you to become participants with the demons. The demons. I think there should be a television show called The Demons. And the truth finally comes out in this show. I would have to write it and direct it and star in it. I can only trust myself to do this. And in this show, it would really be a show that people would watch and they would tell all their friends about it because they go, yeah, they would go, yeah, somebody is actually having the backbone, to show us that it's all a front. It's all a Las Vegas stage show. It's the Rockettes. And behind the Rockettes are the biggest, stinkiest, hairiest demons in existence. It's idolatry, the thing that God hates the most. I don't want you to become participants with them. Paul says you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. It goes back to 2 Corinthians 6, where Paul says, what fellowship do believers have with unbelievers, righteousness with unrighteousness, Christ with Belial, that is the disintegrator. Evil spirit name that disintegrates things by a secret means. Because many people's peace is disintegrated today and their expectation is not existent. They don't know what to expect. They're afraid. So they've been disintegrated. And you don't have to do it. Who was it? Khrushchev, the Russian dude back in the day, banged his shoe on the podium and said, we will take you over through your youth. And so it's much smarter to change societies by propaganda. The Germans knew that, right? With Goebbels, he was the propaganda minister. And he knew that the greatest effect would take place not with tanks or air power, although the Third Reich had tanks and had air power, but through information, or I should say misinformation. And so if you could control the information, if you can infiltrate the educational systems, then you can do it without people even realizing that you're doing it. Because if you fire up your tanks and you fire up your air power, then people are going to shoot that stuff down. I wanted to say shoot that shit down. That was on the tip of my tongue, but I didn't want to say it because someone might have been offended if I had said that. So I changed it a little bit there, but I love the alliteration. And so, because it's an obvious enemy. We're not dealing with an obvious enemy. We're not dealing with an obvious enemy. And you know this. And that's why ours is such an uphill battle. There's another verse I have for you here, and it is 1 Corinthians, what was that, 10:20? 1 Corinthians 8:5. Paul says, "For even so be that there are those being termed gods, whether in heaven or on earth, there is for us one God." Let me start with verse 4. "We are aware that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is no other God except one. For even so be that there are those being termed gods, whether in heaven or on earth, even as there are many gods." They are termed gods for a reason, because there are many gods. A god, these are small, a small g here, is a subjector, one who subjects something, a system, a people, to its own will. And so it's a generic term. So I don't want you to be afraid of the term God. Hitler was a god. Of course he was. Hitler was a lord. You may have a landlord. How can you call him lord? There's only one lord. Well, for us, there's only one capital L lord. But he's the ultimate sanctioner. That's what the word means, kurios. In the Greek, one who sanctions things. It's almost like a parallel of a subjector, one who controls immediate circumstances. There is the absolute and there are the relative. There are sub-gods, there are sub-lords, there are landlords, and there's one lord. And there are gods, believe you me, there are gods. Do not be deceived to think that humanity is not serving false gods, even while they purport to be serving the one true God. That's the essence of idolatry. But it was much easier to avoid, I'll say this, I'll be bold and say it was much easier to avoid back in the day of Israel, because it was an obvious departure. They had a golden calf. I mean, how stupid can you be? But that was a primitive day. And Satan changes his tactics. That was a pre-cross day. Since the crucifixion of Christ, which was not done in a corner, which despoiled sovereignties and authorities, made an open show of them. Since then, Satan has had to rethink his operation, and he has become far more subtle since then. And this is part and parcel of the apostasy that we're in, that Paul's warning us about, that you and I have the the privilege and the frustration of battling on a daily basis. And it's tough. But for us, there is one God. There are many being termed gods, whether in heaven or on earth, and those in heaven come to earth, and they influence earth. And that's one of the secrets behind the unveiling, behind the book of Revelation, is that heaven works its will on earth, whether through demonic influence or godly influence. And I know God's over it all. He's still over it all. He's putting these differences in for the contrast. I'll tell you that over and over again. I might say it often, but I'll say it in different ways. And one time I'm going to word it just right so that some of you who haven't gotten that yet will go, "Oh my God, I just saw it." Whatever combination of words Zender used there, and I'm just fishing for them, folks. Constantly fishing for words to describe this that few people would be able to believe. And it's still shocking to know the scope of it. The scope of it. The nations are worshiping idols. They're worshiping demons. They're doing it today. And it's so shocking that I need to keep repeating it. And I am doing this in advance, because when I tell you, when I describe for you what the sixth messenger brings from beneath the Euphrates River, you need to be prepared for that when I start to get into details of that. This is the only thing that's going to prepare you for it, that the earth is rife and full and suffused with demons. We're of a different spirit. God, the Spirit of God, makes its home in us.